Here he is. Give a nice Portland welcome to Mr. Jim Hightower.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. Carl, terrific. Man. You know, Oscar Wilde said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. And I think, Carl, you can't get more yourself. And Carl, what a great job. And joy to be here back in Portland with all of you good folks and sitting next to Barbara Roberts. You know, we have a saying in Texas, the rooster crows, but the hen delivers the goods. Well, I thank you for allowing a scrawny Texas populace to be a part of your deliberations here tonight. All of you lawyers gathered together, and by the by, I was damn near a lawyer myself. I was a law student for a week and a half at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., but I was tutored in my political career by trial lawyers, and a great one, Warren Burnett, a longtime pal of mine, just a terrific trial lawyer. He explained to me once about trial lawyers. He said, we steal from the rich and give approximately half to the poor. That's all right, isn't it? That's a better deal than they've ever gotten from anyone else. So anyway, just, I don't know what I'm talking about even. It just makes me happier than a mosquito at a nudist colony to be looking out at this great bunch of Oregon ACLUers, you stand-up champions of human rights, you defrockers of tin-horn imperialists, you agitators for liberty and justice for all. That's what ACLU represents. And it's a special joy for me. I was coming here anyway, but it was extra special for your honorees tonight. And you've got these little thingies on your table, and I think most of us have overlooked them. I would urge you, not during my speech, but later, to look at these little things. I mean, this is extraordinary what these lawyers whom you're honoring here tonight have done. The courage of standing up, which they have done. You know, they say that the... Yeah. You know, the opposite of courage is not cowardice, it's conformity. And these are lawyers who have dared to stand up against the conformity, who've dared to make a stand, risking, back in when they first stood up, risking their own careers to do so. So it's an honor to be here tonight with you honorees. Well, it's just a pluperfect joy to join with you as we celebrate our 2008 election victories and rededicate ourselves to the ongoing fight to take America back, to take it back from the freedom suppressors and repressors, the fearmongers and warmongers, the snoopers and the discriminators, the greedheads and boneheads who are out to subvert our people's democracy and pervert our democracy into their autocracy. Your effort, ACLU, Oregon, is essential. They say that the first job of a citizen is to keep your mouth open. And most of y'all are pretty good at that. But it always helps that mouth is attached to a brain, right? And that is the ACLU. The ACLU provides the information, the insight, the vision, the focus to link brain power to mouth power and then connect that to political power. I compare groups like ACLU to a hardware store right near where I live in South Austin, Texas. A little store called Harold's Hardware. Great place. In fact, you can go in there. You don't have to buy the whole package of nails. They'll sell you one. You know, I need a nail here. You know, they'll work with you. Well, what are you trying to build? Well, a bookshelf. And they'll say, well, let's pencil it out and see what you need. They'll loan you a tool. You can take the tool home and bring it back. And Harold's Hardware's slogan is, together, we can do it yourself. Isn't that just right? I mean, it has to be our slogan, doesn't it? We can't do it ourselves, but together, as a community, locally and nationally, we can do it ourselves. We can build something big. So I've come here chiefly to wallow in your civil libertarian spirit, to thank you for daring to confront authority, challenge the autocrats, plutocrats, theocrats, kleptocrats, who are constantly trying to run roughshod over our most basic rights and liberties. It's never easy, I know, to do what you do, particularly if you're out in some of the more conservative areas of our state, being ACLU, or you get to feeling like that guy that B.B. King sings about, nobody likes you but your mama, and she might be jiving you too. Well, it's not easy to do, but it is essential if America is ever to achieve those ideals that we postulate of economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity for all people. I referred to you at the top of this little peroration as agitators, and you are indeed agitators. The powers that be try to make that a pejorative. Those union agitators, our workers were perfectly happy in that factory till they came in. Poor people didn't mind living up against that toxic waste dump until you environmental agitators came in. Well, bovine excrement, I mean, that is not... Americans are a bunch of mutts and mavericks. We're rebels, that's what we are. And you are agitators. ACLU pretty much could adopt that as their pet slogan. Agitator. Walking in the footsteps of Thomas Paine and the pamphleteers of Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass and Mother Jones and Molly Ivins, right on down to us today, we've got to be the agitators more than ever now. You know, when they say that you're an agitator, you can say back to them, yeah, that's a center post in the washing machine that gets the dirt out. That's a good thing, isn't it? And also, I got to say, while all of this is serious business, the thing I like about ACLUers is that they always seem to relish the fight. They always seem to have a little red wine on the table. They always seem to, well, and I can tell you from years of being in this that battling the bastards is just about as much fun as you can have with your clothes on. Let me just put it to you like that. It's a good thing. Makes you feel good. You are what democracy is all about, ordinary folks striving to implement those values of fairness and justice and opportunity for all people. Patti Smith had that great song, people have the power to dream, to rule, to wrestle the world from fools. And that's our job. Speaking of fools, what a ride we've been taking on for the last 8 years by George W. and Buckshot Cheney and Rummy and Carl and all the gang. From the Patriot Act to Extraordinary Rendition, an 8-year run of the Little Shop of Horrors. I thought George W. himself summed it up just best in 2004 when he did something he's so good at. He attempted articulation. He declared in 2004, our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country, and neither do we. He wasn't the quickest bunny in the litter, but I gotta tell you, I miss him. So what a thrill on November the 8th when the American people rose up to say that the emperor has no clothes. Not only does he have no clothes, he's butt naked and butt ugly. A Democrat. A progressive-minded Democrat. An African-American progressive-minded Democrat is the president of the United States of America. The It's an old country song. It felt so good when it stopped hurting. It's a love song, actually. That's what Obama's election is. It opens real hope for real change. And the first change has already taken place, and that is we've changed the debate. We're no longer on the defensive. We are now on the offensive. We can put single-payer health care for America on the table. We get to debate the issues. We have to fight for them. But nonetheless, the debate has changed. However, we cannot go all goosey about Obama's election. Our grassroots activism, our civil libertarian vigilance is now more crucial than ever before. We cannot just crank back in the lazy boy and say, oh, we got that done, Obama's in there, so Barack can take care of it from now on. Well, horse hockey, let's be honest, Obama will only be as good as we make him. I got to tell you, as he came into office, oh, that wonderful inauguration, looking at those hordes of people out there. I mean, it's so inspiring. But as he came into office, I did have mixed emotions. You know, they say mixed emotions is when you see your 16-year-old daughter come home from the prom with a Gideon Bible under her arm. Well, on the one hand, here's a guy with good instincts and progressive roots, a guy with a commitment to change, a guy with very, very strong public support. On the other hand, though, there are the hard realities inside Washington. First, there are 13,000 corporate lobbyists in Washington, D.C. 13,000 of them. There is the war machine. There is the fear lobby, from Homeland Security right down to your local police departments. Secondly, there is a gang of rabidly recalcitrant Republicans eager to monkey wrench the process and make Obama fail. That's their goal. And third, let's not forget my party. Still too many weak-kneed, milquetoast, don't-rock-the-boat, scaredy-cat, feckless Democrats in Washington. And they have to be our target. The Republicans are not going to change. They have to be our target. And some of them are, I gotta tell you, when it comes to real change, they're weaker than Canadian hot sauce. Have you ever had that? Last year, you all remember, there was the vote in the Congress, which the Congress passed, Democratic Congress, vote to legalize Bush's illegal, warrantless spying program. I got an email from a guy saying he hoped that George W. would get caught smoking pot because then the Congress would legalize marijuana. We got to be a little stronger than that, folks. So here we are. Here we are, in a good situation, I think, but a situation where you good people are more important than ever before. You know, they say that the worst job in the circus is cleaning up after the elephants. Well, the elephants are gone, and the cleanup is underway, and we have much to like. Obama has pledged to shut down Guantanamo. He and his attorney general have said that indeed waterboarding is, guess what, torture. They say that they will shutter the CIA's secret prisons around the world, extraordinary rendition, etc. Yet there is much to alarm us. The use of state secrets has been asserted again by Obama. They say that there are no constitutional rights for Afghan detainees. Say it's okay for the CIA to have a secret prison in Afghanistan. They say it's okay to hold enemy combatants indefinitely, as long as you don't call them enemy combatants. Cheney must be chortling at that one, don't you think? They say it's okay to hide White House emails. They're disdaining investigations into the Bush-Cheney constitutional abuses. This is why Lily Tomlin has said, no matter how cynical you get, it's almost impossible to keep up. And this is why we outsiders, you, in this room, have got to step up to be the grassroots counterforce to these insiders. Now our voice matters more than ever. We actually have the possibility for change. Under Bush, we had no possibility for change. And frankly, under Clinton, we didn't have a whole lot of possibility for change. But this time, we can change things. We have the possibility for it. And having that possibility, we have a bigger responsibility than ever for future generations, for past generations, for America itself. We have a chance to make the big changes that ACLU has stood for in its entire history. And that's why we have to be more aggressive than ever before, than ever we have thought about being. We must back up Obama when he is right against those forces who will try to destroy him. But we must also buck up Obama when he is wrong, emboldening him to be better than he thinks he can be. You know, I was a fairly enthusiastic Obama supporter. I was a John Edwards guy early on, but then stuff happened. And I turned to Obama and endorsed him before the Texas primary. And of course, in Texas, we vote twice, so we didn't just have a primary. We had a precinct caucus as well. And people were as confused as goats on AstroTurf. They didn't know what were we supposed to do here. But nonetheless, it's a good occasion. But at the time, I said that the significant thing about the Obama phenomena is not Obama, it is the phenomena. The fact that millions of people were pouring out of nowhere, particularly young people, the Netroots Nation, organizing themselves in a campaign that was just extraordinary and had deep meaning and deep commitment. And Obama himself said constantly during the campaign, "I am not the change, you are the change." And that is so true and so important. And in January 15th, just before he took the oath of office, he said, "I would not have won without our ability to organize ordinary people. It's also important for those people to hold me accountable. I don't want them just to sit around waiting for me to do something. I want them to push their agendas." He asked for it. I think we're in a 1933 moment. Franklin Roosevelt, the New Deal. Franklin Roosevelt did not campaign on the New Deal. There was no New Deal. Franklin Roosevelt was the choice of change against Hooverism, against the Mellon financial empire and the crash that was taking place, beginning with a farm crash in the 1920s and then leading into 1929. But Franklin Roosevelt did not create the New Deal. It was created by ordinary folks all across this country. Penny auctions that farmers held. A penny auction was when some poor farmer's land was going to be taken, and the neighboring farmers would come around at the auction day, auction morning, and surround them. And one farmer would say, "I offer a penny." And the bankers, of course, backed up at that. But nobody else would offer two pennies. And that changed it. The farmer got to keep the land. The people stood up. New Deal happened because labor was organizing. It was conducting strikes. It was offering proposals of change. It happened because Huey Long was throughout the South. Happened because Maury Maverick was mayor of San Antonio and Harry Hopkins was instrumental in government in New York City. It happened because Coxey's army was on the march. It happened because Eleanor Roosevelt was in the White House. It happened because ordinary people stood up and they made Franklin Roosevelt adopt something called the New Deal. They created the New Deal. In fact, famous meeting, Roosevelt with Sidney Hillman, labor union leader, he and other leaders were talking about the need for poverty programs, and Roosevelt said, "I agree with you, I want to do it, now make me do it." And that's our job. That's exactly the situation we're in. Obama has asked us to make me do it. That's our job. We cannot just sit here at the tables and go home and think everything's going to be all right because he's in the White House. Mm-mm. We got to make him do it. We've got to be the ones. Eventually, in whatever age, democracy comes down to you and me. Y'all know that. That's what your work is all about. I was in Vermont not long ago, three or four years ago, actually, and this guy came up to me wearing a political button. It was the best one I've ever seen. It said, "Wearing a button is not enough." Huh? I mean, we can't be a nation of button wearers. We've got to be a little bolder than that. In this book that my co-conspirator, co-author Susan DeMarco and I put together here, the latest one, Swim Against the Current, it's really about the plucky spirit of the American people. It's about you. People who are bucking the system, who are defying the corporate order, who are living their progressive values, who are doing good and doing well. We tell some 55 stories in this book of just ordinary people. None of these folks we write about are rich. They're not Rockefellers. None of them are geniuses. They're not Einsteins. None of them are lucky. They're rebels in that great American tradition of rebellion. That's what our country is all about, is rebellion. Ordinary people standing up. The late great Southern humorist Louis Grizzard once explained the difference of something important that we know in the South, and that is the difference between being naked and being naked. Being naked means you have no clothes on. Being naked means you have no clothes on and you are up to something. And that is the beauty of ACLU. You are up to something. You are the change that America wants. Obama's right. He's not the change. The Democratic Congress is not the change. We are the change, and we have to push it from the grassroots level, and that's the importance of the Oregon ACLU and the Texas ACLU. Yes, we have one. And all across the country. One last story from this book. We tell the story of this tourist who was in Bangkok, and he came out of the great temple, and over here he noticed a monk in full regalia, and the tourist suggested to the monk, "Could I snap your picture?" Yes, the monk nodded. He took the picture. Over here was a boy selling water. And he went over and bought a bottle of water from the boy to give to the monk. And he paid for it and waited for his change, but it was not forthcoming. And he thought there was a language problem, so he said to the boy, pointing to his palm, "You know, don't I get change?" And the boy looked up at him, and he looked over at the monk, and then he looked back at him, and he said, "Change comes from within." And that's the good news. The change is coming from within, from every state, every county, every precinct in America. Change is happening. I leave you with this thought. It's from when I lived out of Texas for 10-year raised there, went to college there, and then went off to school elsewhere. And coming back to Texas in the mid-70s, back to Austin, moved to Austin, and there was a moving company. Had an advertising slogan that I loved, so I stole it for political purposes. And this moving company, they had an ad in the Yellow Pages. It said, "If we can get it loose, we can move it." That's what it's about. Get it loose at the grassroots level, and the people will move it for themselves. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Glad to be with you. Thank you.